shout of praise to the Lord Amen. This morning.
Amen.
You can go ahead and have your seat.
Yes, amen. Thank you so much for praying with us. Just in case anybody was unaware, the election that she's talking about is happening on Tuesday. I'm pretty sure we're all aware. And if you missed one of our teachings we did a few weeks ago, we talked about politics and really what we want to first of all and most of all convey is before you do anything, pray first.
Yeah.
The Bible actually says that the heart of the king, the heart of the leader is in the hands of God, that he actually controls it all. And so there may be lots of reasons outwardly to have fear and anxiety, but we have a God who is over all of it. Amen.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
We want to encourage every person that's able to, first of all, pray. Mm-hmm. And second, vote. Mm-hmm. Participate. Participate. We need Christians to participate because we don't want to take for granted the gift it is to vote.
Right.
There are people in different countries that don't even have that right. What an honor it is for us to vote and for us to pray and to believe God to turn our nation back to him. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're actually building his kingdom first, yeah. His righteousness first. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So thank you for participating. Speaking of participating, I just want to give a quick shout out to all of the volunteers that's come out the last Friday or Saturday here. Let's give it up for them.
Yeah.
The last couple weekends. Man, Pastor Rick has been spearheading that with a lot of other leaders. And I just want to say thank you. You guys have done a fantastic job. And we're excited. And as I'm talking about this, you're going to see some pictures come up on the screen of what the lobby looks like, but also the future of the remodel. It's really exciting. And some great news is happening. Number one, the Board of Deacons has approved our first phase as we get ready. So it's going to be really cool. Our first phase is happening. Happening, which means starting tomorrow, the contractors are working.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So we are on our way. And if you missed the announcement, some new chairs are coming here, hopefully by Christmas. Mm-hmm. So you get to experience some. Now, one thing about these nice chairs, they're really, really soft and people are prone to falling asleep. So I would recommend lots of coffee because it'll be very, very comfortable. All right. But really, we're so excited about what God's
Amen.
Doing. And we want to say thank you for participating.
Yeah.
And we want you to begin praying. We're believing God that he will provide exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask, think, or imagine. So we're really
Amen.
Excited about what's
Amen.
Happening.
And in order to prepare us for this capital campaign and what God's doing here in our church, we've been going through a book called The Treasure Principle. How many of you got the book? You've started to read the book?
Yeah,
awesome.
Come on.
Well, if you don't have the book yet, hey, we have some free copies. Free.
Free. Did you hear that? Free.
In the lobby. And we'd love for you to take one because really it helps us unlock the joy of giving.
Absolutely.
And so these last few weeks, we've been talking about different keys to unlock that joy. And the first key is this: it all belongs to God. Mm-hmm. I'm his money manager.
Yeah, that's good.
It all belongs to God. I'm his money manager. Key two: my heart always goes where I put God's money. And key three: heaven, not this fallen earth. Whoa, got to say that right, guys. Okay. Mm-hmm. Heaven, not this fallen earth, is my home.
Yeah.
And today we want to go over key number four with you. And as we've been preparing and as we've been in this journey with our church these last 9 months, Nate and I have been having a lot of conversations about our finances. And I don't know what your financial journey has looked like, but I would say that our financial journey, if I were to compare it to anything, would be most like a roller coaster.
Can anybody else relate to that?
Highs and
lows? Come on.
We've made some really wise decisions. We've made some really bad decisions.
Yes, we have.
God's been faithful through it all.
Yep.
But we've been having this conversation. One of the things we were reminiscing about is when we first got married, you know, joining our bank accounts together. And it was quite a journey for us because we realized that in this relationship that one of us is a spender and one of us is a saver. Nate is the spender.
What?
Nate loves to spend money.
Do we need to open up the altar right now?
Yeah, we do.
Right
I
now?
Totally lied. I am the spender, and he's the saver. Anybody else in here? Are you the spender? Raise your
hand. Raise your hand if you're the spenders.
We'll
come on, spenders.
We'll start a support group later.
Where are my savers? Come on,
savers.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. I saw some people elbowing their spouse. Come on.
No, don't do that.
Let's take it easy. Take it easy.
Blaming doesn't help us get anywhere.
That's right.
But one of the things that we did when we first got married to help me grow and to help us grow in accountability with our finances is Nate set up this system with our bank where he would get a ding or a ping every single time money was spent. Which was really bad for me because he was notified every single time. But it was really great for our marriage because it helped me grow. But one Christmas, he was upstairs, I was downstairs. And now I have this amazing ability to like find a really good deal and see it through the lens of, look at how much money I'm saving. Anybody else out there?
Shopper's
like, look
math.
At how, it's shopper's math. Like, look at how much I'm saving you, Nate. And so he was upstairs, I was downstairs. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the best deal. I would be dumb not to buy it. Anybody else believe that lie before? It'd be so dumb not to buy this. We're saving so much money. So I bought it, and then all of a sudden, I hear a ding upstairs. I'm like, oh, and then he goes, Maya. And he runs downstairs and he's like, that's not in the budget. And I said, but look at how much money I saved you.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
Oh, it doesn't work like that. But the thing is that a lot of our stuff that we just had to have or we felt like we just wanted, you know, the truth is it's not even with us anymore. I actually have a picture of where it's at. Yeah, it's with Rick's stuff in the dumpster. Yeah, we don't even have it anymore. And one of the questions we had to start asking ourselves is, you know, what is our purpose behind our spending?
Yeah.
What's our why behind our spending? What are we actually building with our money?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we want to talk about that today because oftentimes people will say my why, and they'll fill in the blank with different things like my why is family, my why is legacy. And those aren't bad, but we want to fill our why with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. What does God's Word actually say our why should be? So to help us with that, I want us to turn into our Bibles. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. And if you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. It'll come up behind us on the screen. But we would love to read this to you, read this together. And so here's what it says. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroy them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in Rick's dumpster.
No.
It says, store your treasures where?
In heaven,
where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Mm-hmm. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. Mm-hmm. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with what?
Darkness.
And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money.
That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need.
Yeah, isn't that good?
Yeah.
I want to go back up to verse 22 just for a moment because it talks about your eyes. Do you know the color of your eyes? Some of you are like, oh, I'm not sure. I hope you do. Mine are hazel, in case you're wondering.
Really?
What? Come on. Doesn't she has the beautiful...
I always thought they were blue, but then I realized, no, they're actually hazel.
They are. Hazel. I know. They change.
They change with what color
right?
you wear.
They do. But that was one of the first things I noticed about you when we first met was how beautiful your brown eyes are and that they're dedicated to chocolate. So those two things are really important.
My dad told me I had brown eyes because I ate so much chocolate.
Yes. But one of the... Isn't it amazing how... Our eyes really are the gateway to what goes on in the inside of our lives.
Yeah.
And the same way our perspective, what you see, isn't it fascinating how two people can see the exact same thing, but have completely different feelings about it?
Right.
Like some see trash, some see treasure.
Right.
Right? Isn't it amazing what this verse is telling us, telling you and me, that our perspective... Mm-hmm. on our finances will dramatically impact the way that you handle and view finances.
Yeah.
Because what does Jesus say? He says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Isn't that interesting that he doesn't say, hey, I don't want you to store up anything. Mm-hmm. He's not saying he doesn't want you to have things. He just wants you to have things in the right place.
Right.
He wants you to think about your treasures. Isn't that fascinating? He doesn't say don't store up treasures, period. He says don't store up treasures here on
earth.
Why doesn't he want us to do that? Because it will be destroyed. It won't last. But instead, store up treasures in heaven.
Yeah.
And so what we want to do, and this is the fourth key that will help unlock joy in our giving, is this: live for the line, not the dot. Live for the line, not for the dot. Now, that might sound a little confusing, but we have an illustration that'll help make this clear.
So this is a line, and if we could just all imagine that this line, this rope goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Okay? Can we imagine that this morning? All right. So this is a timeline of your existence. This is what it represents. And so what you have here is you have this little black dot on the very end. And this little black dot actually represents your time here on earth. Do we see how short it is? How small it is? This, the rest of the line, represents eternity. It represents forever and ever for millions and millions of years that we will spend in eternity. And the Bible actually teaches us that what we do here during this little time we have here on earth actually impacts the rest of eternity. That who you say Jesus is impacts eternity. That what you do here on earth will either build your kingdom here or invest into God's kingdom, which will last forever. And here's the tension when you live for the line. You've got the dot and you've got the line. Is that most of us, in fact, all of us, are born with a selfish nature. How many of you have nieces or nephews or cousins or kids, and they start playing with toys, and they're like, that's mine. That's mine. How many have heard somebody scream that before? A kid scream that before? You know, sometimes I think what happens, even as adults, we do this to God. Like, God, no, that's mine. This is mine. And what God says, actually, everything you have, I've given you. You just get to manage it. Mm-hmm. But the question is, whose kingdom are you building with your finances? Because the temptation is to just focus on me, 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 I, for this short amount of time, when God says there's actually a much greater perspective of what we're living for. And it's the tension of being generous or being selfish. And you know, I kind of like to describe it like this. You know, when you go to the doctor for your annual physical, or your wife makes you go to the doctor for your annual physical.
Okay, confession that she's talking about me, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, you go to the annual physical and you know, they're like poking around, and you know, when they poke around and if it hurts, what does the doctor say? Like, oh, it's not supposed to hurt, right? It's not supposed to hurt there. We need to get that checked out. Well, that's a lot. That's exactly the same thing when it comes to when we start talking about giving and tithing. It's not supposed to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's not supposed to hurt. Why? Because our identity as a believer is to be generous.
Yeah.
because God was generous.
That's right.
And so when we live for the line, not the dot, we no longer see our resources as an availability for us to build my kingdom, what I want. No, God's given it to me to invest into his kingdom, which lasts forever. It keeps going and going and going. And I don't know about you, but I want to invest in something that's going to last forever.
Come on.
Because most of what I want to fill my needs here is going to end up in the dumpster anyways. All we can take with us to heaven are the people around us, not the stuff that we have. But my question to you this morning is this. Whose kingdom are you building with your generosity?
Yeah.
Whose kingdom are you building with your generosity?
Absolutely. And in order to do that, we have to have a perspective shift.
Yeah.
We have to have our eyes shift. We have to go from I'm going to live for the dot to the line. So how do we do that? How do we shift our perspective? That's really important, isn't it? How can someone shift their perspective? That takes actually a lot of focus and intentionality, but it also takes this, and I want you to write this down. It should be in your notes. When we invest into God's kingdom, this helps us live for the line, not the dot, by number one, clarifying our purpose.
Yeah.
Do you know your purpose? Mm-hmm. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know your purpose?
Do you know your purpose?
Do you know your purpose? Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, you too. Do you know your purpose? Do you know your purpose? One of the values that we talk about at Portland Christian Center a lot is that we say people are the prize. Why do we say people are the prize? Number one, because they're God's prize.
Right. Amen.
You and I are God's prize. How do I know that? Anybody that would send their one and only son to die for you would consider you a prize.
That's right.
Amen. I have two boys, and I'm sorry, as much as I love you, I'm not sending them for you.
No. Yeah.
Anybody else with me on this one? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how much God loves you.
Yeah.
That's how loved you and I are. And when we understand that, it changes our vision to see people are the prize. And what I end up doing is I live for eternity, not just for the dot. Why? Because I can only take people with me to heaven.
Yeah.
Is your purpose to populate heaven and plunder hell?
Yeah, amen.
Is your purpose to do everything you can to take as many people as with you to heaven as you possibly can?
Amen.
Is your purpose to live full of joy and with the Holy Spirit and be filled with God's presence? To live with this contagious life that says, I am not here for myself.
Yeah.
I am here for a purpose. And that is to take people with me.
Amen.
Because here's the truth. We can't take it with us, but we can send it ahead.
That's right. We can't take it with us, but we can send it ahead. And as your purpose is clarified, it actually informs your generosity.
That's right.
When you understand your purpose, how many of you know that? When you are focused on something, you're invested in something, you believe in something so much, you're going to give to it, right? You're going to invest into it. You're going to give money towards that. And so your purpose informs your generosity. And when we understand that, you know what, our purpose is to build God's kingdom, our generosity will follow.
Mm-hmm.
And generous people who love the Lord, they're looking for how they can benefit others, not how others can benefit them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the flip. It's not how you can benefit me. It's how can I benefit you?
It's good.
How can I come alongside you and help you? And have you ever heard the saying, put your money where your mouth is? Yeah, put your money where your mouth is. Well, another way of looking at it is like, hey, take action. If you believe in something, then give to it. Take action on it. Serve to it. Be a part of it. And James 2, 14 through 17, it talks just about this. It says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Woo! That's not going to call you out. I don't know what is. You know, our son Titus is over on the side. Wave your hand, Titus. He's awesome. He's 13. And when he was 8 years old, we were on a road trip to visit family. And so we had to make a stop. And one of the stops we made was Nate's favorite store, Target. And I'm just kidding, it's not. We had to have a budget meeting before I went in. It was a lot of fun. But we went in and we just walked around, stretched our legs. And on the way out, I just was focused. I was focused on getting to the car, totally unaware of what was happening around me. But Titus was not. And we walked out of the store and there was a homeless man that was sitting off to the side. And Titus actually noticed this homeless man. And he, as we were headed back to the car, he said, "Mom, we should give him something. Like, we should give him something. Do we have anything to give him?" And I said, "Well, let's go into our car and see what we have." And as we were going into our car, Titus had a snack bag. Because how many of you parents know that a trip without snacks is, like, horrible? But a trip with snacks, it can be totally amazing. And so we had a whole bag full of snacks for the boys. And Titus said, "Hey, Mom, what if I gave this man my bag of snacks?" Now, think about that. For an 8-year-old kid who has nothing but his snacks, he, in this moment, was giving up everything he had. This honestly blew my mind because I thought, this kid understands his purpose. And you know what, God? You're teaching me through my kid right now. So we went over to this homeless man, and Titus handed him the bag. And as he handed him the bag, he said, "Sir, I just want to let you know that God loves you, and I hope you have a great day." Handed him the bag of the food. We're on our way back to the car, and I'm bawling my eyes out. I'm like, "Oh, he loves Jesus. He really does." And, you know, like, "Oh, man, he understands his purpose." But, you know, the Lord just whispered to me in that moment. You know, he said, you know, Titus was aware. And it was this moment of reminder for me that, oh, man, like, Lord, help me to be aware of the needs around me. Because really my purpose is to advance your kingdom, which means that I need to be aware of the needs of those around me. Right? And a generous person is looking for how we can benefit others, not just benefit ourselves. So whose kingdom are you building with your finances, with your generosity?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you were talking about that, isn't it amazing? And this is kind of our second point as well, is that the way to grow with this is to shift our focus from temporary to eternity. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you to do something with me just for a moment. I want you to think about all of the distractions you face on a day-to-day basis, all the temporary things. Even some of us here this morning, I was watching as we're communicating and listening, and some of us are trying to focus so hard, but those cell phones just keep attacking you, and they keep opening up, and it's just amazing how we can't get in a space where we can just focus on what God wants us to focus on eternity. Yeah. And what I have found is God will do things to disrupt you.
Yeah.
God will do things that shake you out of living for the dot. And I remember a time when we had something happen to us that absolutely shook me out of that moment of living for the dot. We were living in Gig Harbor. And we had just got this house, and I had never seen a house like this. It had a crawl space underneath it, and that once you went inside it, it was kind of outside. It had a door that opened. When you went inside it, it was kind of on the foundation also had stilts. Mm-hmm. And so all the dirt was covered in black paper. And so as I get in there, and it was like brand new, so it was clean, it looked perfect. So I decided, because we were running out of space, to make that our new storage area. Some of you builders know where this is going. You're laughing at me already, aren't you? I could tell some of you are smirking at me. All right, I know. So I didn't know, okay? And so I start putting things in like Titus's crib. Mm-hmm. I start putting in boxes of nice things that we've had for years and years, clothing, sporting goods, all of these things that you might say, mm-hmm. That were valuable to us. Mm-hmm. I am putting them away thinking I'm keeping them safe for later. Well, if you don't know much about Gig Harbor gets way more rain than we do here in Portland. Can you believe that? It rains all the time. Well, for some reason, about November, December time frame, I was putting something else. I was going to put more down there.
Yeah.
And I'm climbing down there, and as I open up the latch, I see all of our stuff is completely submerged in water. The builder did not put a drain or a pump to suck the water out. So all of our possessions that I had stored for safe keeping, you know where they ended up? In Rick's dump one more time. And what it did for me is it shook me out of my perspective. And I'm praying for all of us this morning that God might do a work in your heart to shift some of your perspective. Yeah. Not out of guilt, not out of shame, not out of compulsion, but to say, God, I want my life to count.
Yeah, amen.
I want to be a part of eternity. I don't want to live for just the dot. I want to live for eternity because God has called you and he's called me to something so much greater.
Yeah, amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen. 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 I think, you know, the truth is that God blesses us individually. I think there's a direct relation to our obedience with our finances. You know, some of the most wealthy people I have met are the most generous people I've met. And I think there's a direct correlation that when we obey God with our finances, he actually blesses us. And there's this mentality that we think that we have to keep it all for ourselves. We have to keep it safe. But actually, the more you give away, the more joy you have. The more joy you have, the more gratitude you have. And I love what Anne Frank says. She says, no one has ever become poor by giving. Mm-hmm. No one has ever become poor by giving. I can't tell you how many times where, you know, when you feel prompted by the Holy Spirit to give someone something and you do it out of obedience, how much joy is on the other side for you as the giver? Even if it's anonymous and they never know. I remember there was this one person that the Lord told us to give some money to, and we wanted it to be anonymous. And this person started talking about how that was the exact amount that they needed to be able to pay a bill. And Nate and I were just so giddy behind the scenes, like, oh, I can't believe God used us to do that. And this person still does not know that it was us that gave that to them. But there's something that happens within you when you give.
Yeah.
That God actually blesses you back. But it's important that as we grow in our understanding of finances and we talk about this treasure principle, we have to understand the order in which God is asking us to use our money. That there's actually a structure that God has set in place.
Yeah.
And within the Bible, there are three different types of giving. The first level of giving is your tithe. The second is the offering, and the third is an extravagant offering. And the first level being the tithe, tithe means 10%, the tenth. And Malachi 3:10 talks about this. It says, bring the whole tithe, tenth, bring the whole tenth into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. What God is saying is, you obey me with the 10%, and I will bless you with more than enough, meaning that God can do more with our 90 than we could do with 100.
That's right.
That's kingdom math, and it's a real kind of math, not like Shoppers math. It's like real kingdom principle. But that God says, give it to God, honor me with your first 10%, and watch what I will do. Mm-hmm. Watch what I will do. It's the 10%.
Absolutely. So what we've done to help us understand this is we have a bucket. A bucket, and what does it say on it?
Tithe.
Tithes. And what we learn through God's word is that everything belongs to him and that he says that we're to give 10%. Now, here's one of the interesting things that's kind of been passed around that I've seen in different teachings that I don't believe to be true. And that is this, that tithing is only an Old Testament custom or law. But when Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled the law. Therefore, tithing is no longer a requirement. Here's the problem with that theology. This is so funny. The tithe was in place before the law.
Right.
The tithe actually predates the law. Mm-hmm. So when we say, oh, I don't have to give because it's not in the New Testament as a tithe, that's actually not true. Jesus actually said, bring the whole tithe in. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you cannot find anywhere in the New Testament where it says, no, you don't need to tithe. In fact, if you read the New Testament, it actually, I hate to say this, but it's going to open up that the Christian is to grow into giving in all three buckets.
Right.
And so what we teach and what we believe here at Portland Christian Center is that tithing this bucket is your first bucket.
Right.
It's the starting line. It's the baseline. Right. And as you grow in your faith, you become, because here's the thing. People love to say this. Have you ever heard someone say this? Let's be more like God.
Right.
Or maybe another way is let's be like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Remember those little bracelets, WWJD. Come on, we all remember those, JD. What would Jesus do? And what Jesus taught is to bring the whole tithe. Why would he teach that? Because this is the first fruits. Mm-hmm. Whatever is going on in your life, I want to encourage you to start here.
Yeah.
Now, this is really important. Now, I want to make sure you, some people have asked me, Pastor Nate, what does the tithe do?
Right.
Like practically here at Portland Christian Center, what does the tithe do? I want you to look up. Do you see those lights? It keeps the power on. Mm-hmm. Do you feel warm?
Yeah.
That's because we're paying for some heat. Mm-hmm. And an over 90,000 square foot facility, mm-hmm. that could cost a little bit of money, can it?
Mm-hmm.
Not only does it pay for that, but it pays for every single ministry in our church.
Right.
And by the way, if you've been tithing, the four people that got baptized this morning, you get to share in that inheritance.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah. That's good.
When we give unto the Lord to do the ministry of what he's doing here at Portland Christian Center.
Right.
Now, on top of that, one of the questions you should be asking, and some of you already asked this, or maybe you already know this, is that the first thing you need to know is that, yes, I'm the lead pastor. My wife and I, we are leading, and we're doing the best we can. But here's what you have to know. We do not just make up whatever we want to do with the money.
No.
Mm-mm. Someone should be like, that's good news.
Yeah, it's good news.
Right? We have a finance committee that oversees all of the money that we spend and looks at everything, investments, mm-hmm. everything that we do. We have a board of deacons mm-hmm. that holds us accountable, and we hold them accountable as well. And on top of that, we have an outside audit that looks at our books to make sure everything is done with integrity.
Right.
To that, you should say, praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Why do we do that? For two big reasons. I don't want to go to jail. And I don't want to go to hell. We want to do everything we can to live with integrity. Yeah. Why? And this is something you need to hear from me. We take this bucket as seriously as we possibly can.
Right.
Because this is wholly dedicated to the Lord.
Amen.
And what we want to live out is a life of integrity and putting God's money first.
Yeah, amen. As we were researching this, I found some interesting statistics. How many of you like some stats? You want to learn some stats? This is about tithing. So the first one is this, is out of the 247 million U.S. citizens that identify as a Christian, only 1.5 million of those actually tithe the full 10%. The next slide, which means that only 5% of churchgoers actually tithe. So this is staggering to me and honestly truly sad, because here's what this means. This is what I see when I see that. That only 5% of Christians are actually experiencing the blessing of abundance that comes when you obey God with your tithe.
Mm-hmm.
Only 5%. That means that 95% of Christians are missing out on all that God has for them with their finances. This also tells me that we need to do a really good job of teaching the next generation the value of the tithe.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the research that I did, I found that millennials don't have a hard time giving to charitable organizations, but they do struggle giving money to church. They do struggle giving money to God. What does that tell us? That we need to raise up a next generation that understands the value for God's house, that understands the value for our money and putting our money in investing it into the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
That we need to invest it, and we've got to teach the next generation. We've got to model that for the next generation, because we don't want the church to be jeopardized because the tithe goes away. Because
mm-hmm.
the tithe is what keeps the ministry of God's house moving forward. If every Christian tithed 10%, that full 10%, faith organizations would have an extra $139 billion each year. That means that no church would have to close their doors because of finances.
Mm-hmm.
$139 billion each year. What does this tell us? You know what this tells us? It tells us the value that when we obey God, we're actually building his kingdom. And when we pour our finances and our resources into God's house, that number of $139 billion, I'm not just thinking about buildings, I'm thinking about souls. Think about how many souls could be reached with that amount of money. How many people we could send on trips, missions trips. How many different meals could we make to feed people who are hungry? It's about ministry. It's about people. Mm-hmm. It's about people. And so when we honor God with our tithe, he will pour out such a blessing. And I don't know about you, but I want to experience all that God has for me. Mm-hmm. And I want to be a part of something that lasts for eternity.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first bucket is the
tithe.
Tithe. Very good. The next bucket is what is called offerings. This is anything above and beyond your regular tithes. And this is your offerings. And this is where we support missionaries, missions organizations. We support over 85 different missionaries and missions organizations, just like Sam Paris and his family. Mm-hmm. And it's such a privilege to do that. Also, the Building on Faith campaign that we're launching, that is in this bucket. And I want to make this very clear. It's not in this bucket. Mm-hmm. Okay. I had somebody tell me, hey, Pastor Nate, you know, I've been praying and I'm going to take 5% of my tithe and give it to the Building on Faith campaign. And you know what I said? Please don't. Please don't. But you need the building. No. Don't get it twisted. We never go ahead of the blessing of God. Mm-hmm. We never shortcut the blessing of God. Why? Because I truly believe that belongs to God first.
Right.
And so what we do believe, and as you're praying, remember in 2 weeks, November 17th, that's Commitment Sunday. We're asking every person to ask the Lord above our regular tithes and offerings, God, what do you want to do through me? Yeah. And it's not about equal gifts, but about equal sacrifice.
Right.
It's not about equal gifts, but it's about equal sacrifice. In other words, we're asking the Lord, what do you want to do through me? Some people may be able to give a lot. Some people may be able to give just a little bit. But what you're asking the Lord, what do you want to do through me?
Yeah. And the third level is the extravagant offering. And the extravagant offering, the example of this is found in John, when Mary came and she anointed Jesus's feet with very expensive oil or perfume. And Mary came and she was so overwhelmed with gratitude because this is the Mary whose brother Lazarus, Jesus had just raised from the dead a month earlier. And so she was so overwhelmed with gratitude that she came and poured out an extravagant offering at Jesus' feet. Now, they say that this offering or this oil was worth a year's wages. So I want you to think for a moment, how much do you make in a year? Maybe it's $20,000, $50,000, $100,000. Think about that number. And think about in one moment, you just laying all of that at Jesus' feet. That's an extravagant offering. And you know, this so moved Jesus that he actually said that wherever the gospel is preached, this woman will be mentioned. That's how much it moved Jesus. And so it's the extravagant offering. An extravagant offering, truly, it comes from a heart that is grateful. Generosity flows from a heart that is grateful. I think about Rick Warren. How many of you have read the book, The Purpose-Driven Life? It's a great book. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. 50 million copies have been sold. And Rick Warren, he lives on 9% of his income and gives away the rest. That means 91% of his income he gives away. But 9% he lives on. That's extravagant. But you know, the most extravagant gift, most extravagant offering I can think of is what God did for us with his son Jesus.
Amen.
He gave up Jesus, his only son, for you and for me, so that we wouldn't have to pay the penalty for our sin. Jesus did it for us. God is a generous God. He models generosity for us. He modeled extravagant generosity for us. And as we grow, we actually grow in our grace of giving and understanding that God actually gave all of it for us. How many of you are grateful that God gave his only son, Jesus, so that we could be set free? I'm so grateful because it's that gift that transformed my life.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we look at this bucket of extravagant offerings and we start looking at these three buckets, what I want every person to hear to see, maybe you're here and you're like, man, I've never tithed in my life. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're here and you're like, man, I'm at 7%, Pastor Nate, but I'm trying to get to 10%. Or maybe you're here like, man, I've done this, I've done offerings, but I've never done an extravagant gift. I want you to know wherever you are, don't walk out of here in shame and guilt, yeah, but take your next step.
Right, that's good.
God has a step for you to take. And what I want all of us to see is what Jesus says and sees in every single one of you. Do you know what he says about you? You know what he says about you? He says, you are the light of the world. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that you shine bright in this world is that you do things with your finances that the rest of the world would look at you and say, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. Why would you do such a thing? Mm-hmm. And you would just simply smile at them and say, I'm living for eternity.
Right. Amen.
I am not living for this dot. Mm-hmm. I forgive people because I'm living for eternity. Mm-hmm. I love my enemies because I'm living for eternity. Right. I give financially through my tithes, offering, and extravagantly because I'm living for eternity.
Yeah.
I believe with all my heart, if we could take every single one of you on a little trip to heaven for 5 minutes, and if you could see eternity for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. and then bring you back here, you would see this line a lot different, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Do you know what the Apostle Paul said after he had a time in heaven? He said, I long to get back there. Mm. I long to be there, but because of you, I do my work. Mm-hmm. That's what building on faith is all about.
Right.
It's about saying, God, what do you want to do through me?
Yeah.
I want to invest in your kingdom. I want to store up treasures in heaven. Mm-hmm. I want to live for the line, not the dot.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you live for the line, not the dot, you know, it clarifies your purpose. It shifts your focus from the temporary to eternity. Mm-hmm. And then it upgrades your worry to trust.
Yeah, that's good.
Because the more you grow in your faith in God, the greater your trust, it increases. And the more you trust in the Lord, the smaller your worry becomes. How many of you could use an upgrade in the area of worry to trust? I know I can continually have an upgrade in that. There's a woman named Heidi Baker. Her and her husband, Randall, are missionaries to Mozambique. And they felt the call of God so strongly on them to go and minister to the orphans in Mozambique. And so they left everything behind, all of their earthly possessions. They left it behind, they sold it, and they moved to Mozambique, and they started an orphanage there. And this orphanage has hundreds of kids now that come, and they have Heidi and her husband and their team, they've created home for them. And it's incredible. You can actually look her up and read incredible, incredible testimonies of how God has provided. She has experienced what the disciples experienced in the feeding of the 5,000, where she sat at a table with hundreds of orphans not having enough food to feed every mouth. And yet she prayed and God supplied all the food for these hundreds of orphanages. She said it was like the feeding of the 5,000 with the five loaves and the two fish. She's experienced that. She's seen babies raised from the dead. Mm. She's experienced miracle after miracle of protection and provision. And in fact, this trust goes so deep with her and God. She says this, that if God doesn't show up today, we're dead. It's that level of trust. It's that level of intensity that, God, without you, I can't survive. And I don't know about you. I may not be in Mozambique, but there are days where I just feel like, God, if you don't show up today, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Mm-hmm. But one of the incredible testimonies she has is she decided to throw a Christmas party for the orphans because some of them had never had a Christmas before. They've never even gotten a present. And so she had hundreds of orphans and in this Christmas party, and it was full of laughter and fun, and she had gifts, and she had found out that the ones that had never received a gift before, she let them go first. And so these kids went through these toys, and it was starting to get towards the end. And their toys were running out, and they only had one type of toy left, which was a stuffed dog. And so the girls started coming up to Heidi, and Heidi looked at this little girl, and she said, sweetheart, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want? And the little girl looked her in the eye, and she said, I really like some beads. Well, Heidi turned to her friend who was helping her, and she said, this little girl wants beads. And the worker looked at her, and she said, we don't have beads. All we have are these stuffed dogs. That's all we have, Heidi. And Heidi said she looked back at the little girl, looked her straight in the eye, and then she looked up to heaven, and then she looked back at the little girl, and she said, check again. So the worker checked again, and she reached her hand into the bag where all the stuffed dogs were. And as she reached in, guess what she found? She found beads. She found beads, a supernatural miracle in the middle of an orphanage on a Christmas party. And you know what Heidi said? She told these kids, she said, you know, God is so good, and he's so much better than Santa Claus. You know what happened that day? Every single child that witnessed that miracle understood that God was their provider. You know what happens every single time you obey God with your finances, you're not quite sure how it's going to happen, and then a miracle happens? It builds your faith, and it builds the faith of those around you, because you will see God do the impossible. Mm-hmm. Where you thought you only had stuffed dogs, God's going to show up with some beads. He's going to provide for you in miraculous ways. Why? Because that's who God is.
Amen.
And when you trust him, it's like a wild adventure where you see God come through time and time again. That every single moment you choose to put your trust in him, you will watch him show up in ways that seemed impossible to you. Because who is he? He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider.
Amen.
My provider.
Yes, he is. So the question we want to ask everyone this morning is, are you living for the line, not the dot? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? Maybe you're here this morning and you're realizing that your life has literally been all about the dot. It's all about you. But today is your day for salvation. The Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart. And he's saying, it's time to come home. It's time to come back to God. Mm-hmm. It's time to surrender your life to him. He loves you. He gave his life for you. He wants you to spend eternity with him forever. Because the truth is, we'll all spend eternity somewhere. Where will you spend eternity? If you're here this morning and you want to give your life to Jesus, today's your day. I'm going to count to three. And on three, I want you to raise your hand if you want to give your life to Jesus. One, it's not too late.
Yeah.
Two, Jesus loves you. Three, today's the day of salvation. If that's you, raise your hand. The Lord is calling you. I see those hands. That's awesome. Lots of hands. Who else? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? The time is yours right now. Don't give up. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Thank you. That's awesome. See those hands. Would everyone in the congregation repeat this prayer after me? Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
I love you.
Love you.
I'm going to follow you.
I'm going to follow you.
All the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
I give up my life to receive yours.
I give up my life to receive it.
I'm going to live for the line.
I'm going to live for the line.
Not the dot.
Not the dot.
For the rest of my life.
The rest of my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ. So if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes. And we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. Whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.